Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. How is everyone?
Good morning.
I want to thank you for joining us again on On Point. How's everybody today?
Pretty good. Thanks for asking you.
Not too bad. We want to
really
thank
great.
Everybody
thank
else
you.
For coming back. I'm so sorry if we're going to have a slight delay in our time. So if I start to speak and you hear me chop you off, I apologize in advance. I'll try to make room for making that adjustment. This week in our topic, our primary topic, I'm just saying that's our segment. We're going to delve into the unspoken of the details of the horrible events that transpired in South Carolina, that massacre. We're also going to look at what mainstream media is not discussing, and we want to talk about that. But first, I'd like to introduce our incredible co-host, one of my ace coon boons, my partner, and my friend, Dr. James Moore. And
good morning.
Incredible Lady Treese.
Hello, hello.
And but first, this week, we're going to welcome our, and normally we do this as the man of the hour, but this week, we're going to welcome our Lady of the Hour, and we're going to have this special segment for to check out the perspective of what's going on in the life of a successful business person who can turn adversity upside down to make it a more positive thing. But I'm going to let my boy lead off for me for today.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us once again this week on Point. I'd like to welcome Miss Veronica Scott. And Ms. Scott, how are you this morning?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us for a few moments today. And I was mentioning to some of my friends that I heard about you, and I was just absolutely blown away with some of the things that you're doing with the Empowerment Plan and this just magnificent coat that you've developed. So I'd like you, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you get started. Share with our listeners a little bit about whatever you'd like to talk to us about today. That'd be great.
Okay, well, I love the subject of what you guys are going to talk about today, and I'm glad you guys are going to discuss that. And really, Empowerment Plan was a class project in college. I was studying product design, so I initially designed the coat while going to school full-time. And I spent a lot of time in shelters across the city designing with the population that had been, living on the streets for 10, 20 years. And, I got so much feedback and we got so much excitement behind it as I was designing and moonlighting. I would go to these shelters probably every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8 o'clock at night without fail for months and months. And it got to the point where I was designing these coats and people on the street actually ended up giving me a street name or a nickname. I was just known as like the crazy coat lady, or just the coat lady for short. But I spent so much time there, and by the time the class project ended, I was asked, "So when is this going to happen? When are you going to make these coats? When are we going to get them?" And I thought, this is never going to happen. There's no way. I'm a student, I'm 21 years old, college student, I'm broke, I live with my grandparents. There's no way this is going to be a business. And I was like, but I'll try to make it another class project, I'll maybe write a first business plan. And from there, it really has kind of spiraled out of control into a business now. It was something that I didn't expect to happen, I never thought was really even possible, because I had no business experience. And frankly, I suck at sewing. So it's not the business I thought I would be in either. And so I hired the first couple people out of the shelter because I knew a coat on its own is just a Band-Aid. But the true impact would come from hiring the people that would need them in the first place. And that's where I could actually make a difference. And that was
what I wanted to get you to address, too, because I love what you're doing out there. Can you go into detail a little bit about what you're doing for the community? I know you're doing some stuff in the Detroit area.
So Empowerment Plan is a Detroit-based nonprofit organization that hires only homeless, majority single parents, from shelters or housing programs across the city, and we employ them in sewing and manufacturing. We do training, GED, micro-lending, all of that, but we end up producing this coat that turns into a sleeping bag that we give out globally for disaster relief, but across the U.S. and Canada for those living on the streets. We've been able
Brilliant.
To reach about 10,000. Yeah,
oh, that's
thank you.
Neat.
Yeah.
That's real neat.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
thank you.
Good idea.
It's been a wild ride. We've been able to affect about 10,000 people across the U.S. and Canada. We're in 29 states and about 5 Canadian provinces.
Is there a website?
Yes, there is.
Empowerment Plan.org.
Empowerment Plan.org. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
That's great. Do they have a way to possibly like interact with you, communicate with you by your website?
Yeah, there's multiple ways to connect and contact us on the site. I've got a team of 30 people now, so that's grown quite a bit from the 3 that I started with a little over 3.5 years ago. So we're only 3.5 years old. And we have multiple people on the team that either you can get in touch with us. We get a lot of coat sponsors. So if you are in a city and you want to get a coat for somebody that's living on the street, we will actually send them to outreach groups or people across the nation. And also there's just ways to get to know our team and talk to even the women that we hire from the shelters.
That's awesome. I'm loving it.
They're way better to talk to than me. They're amazing.
I think we'd like
so moving forward, Ms. Scott, what are your plans? I know that you're growing and doing a lot of things, and you're in 29 states, 5 Canadian provinces, you're working with 10,000 folks. Mm-hmm. What are your plans? I mean, you plan on world domination? I mean, I could see it. but what do you plan on doing? How do you plan on growing in the future moving forward?
There's a couple things. The first thing, It started to happen organically, and I didn't fully recognize it until we had gotten this far. But when I first started, everybody said the business was going to fail pretty epically. And the reason they gave me, you know, wasn't what I expected. They said, you're never going to get a homeless person to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, let alone a coat. And they said, you're not going to be able to employ anybody from the shelter. And I knew, just based on how I grew up and the experiences I went through and worked in poverty with parents, addiction, and all sorts of things, I knew that you can't just say that a whole population is completely worthless, that they're all the same person or that they're all lazy or anything. There's no one thing that ties all the homeless population together. They act as if there's one thing, there's a symptom, but really, homelessness is not a defining characteristic. It is a just temporary state of being. You do not have a house. That doesn't tell you anything else about the person. And people love to come up with ideas in their head of when they hear somebody that's been homeless, or they think, if I tell you right now, you know, if I say, think of a homeless person, and you're going to have this image in your head, or this person on a street corner, or this person that's just kind of blending into the background. And what we do has been, I didn't realize at the time, and it's still kind of crazy to think about now, is change that perception a little bit. Because when we get people coming onto our floor and meeting the people we employ, they're like, they always pull me aside. Or they pull one of them aside. I can't believe that this person was homeless. Oh, my God. And they're all shocked. And I always want to ask, like, what were you expecting exactly? What did you think you were going to walk in and see today? Because people have this idea in their head. And I think that's the power of the people that we employ. That's all of them. And that's showing them and proving everybody wrong. And I think that's something that we continue to grow in a way that, yes, we can employ them. We can go into shelters and employ homeless, you know, parents and single moms and single dads. We can go into those shelters and do that. But they can also be valuable members of society, even beyond us. Like, the first step was proving that, yes, you can go in, and that there's very driven, very capable people that just need a chance, that just need to be invested in a little bit.
Wow.
And
that's
the next step. Thank you. It's been a wild ride, but I think the next step is just showing that not only are they good for working with us, they can go off and be an asset in any company. And so we're becoming more of an employment model that helps people transition from us, because the journey from being in the shelter, being on the streets, to being on your own two feet and financially stable is a journey that most people can't make. It's too difficult right now. You're not set up to succeed, and you're expected to do it alone, and it's nearly impossible. And what's always missing is the job, but no employer wants to take a risk on somebody that doesn't have a permanent place of address, that may have a criminal record, that may not know where their next meal is coming from, and definitely probably doesn't even have a car. So we're there to take that risk and give them enough time to get stable, at least to build the foundation so that they can compete. And that's what we're doing moving forward. That's our biggest goal, is to help. You know, we've already had people move on into other jobs. You know, there's Chrysler and other companies, construction companies. But it's how do we scale that? And not just in Detroit, but in other cities as well, because we get a lot of requests from city governments on, like, how we want to do this. How do we do this? So we're looking at scaling not just in Detroit, but in other cities across the U.S.
Understood, and that's commendable.
That's
amazing. You have a young man or a young woman listening to you right now,
mm-hmm.
and they're having a rough moment, and they want to be successful. There's something they want to embark upon. Give them a formula right now. What would you tell them?
If I were to tell them anything, you know, and I have two younger siblings, one's 15 and 11, and they're going through some hard times themselves, and this is something I talk to them about as well. You know, it's one thing to not be so afraid. You know, the first step in all of this, most people stop because they're afraid of failing, that they're afraid that it won't work out. But at the end of the day, failure or having your idea not come together isn't the worst thing in the world. It will be okay. Everything will be all right. The sheer fact that you tried is better than pretty much, you know, 90% of the population that never would. And I think the biggest piece of advice that I give for young students especially, and just young people in general, they think that they have to wait. They think that they have to wait until they're older or more experienced, or until they have the exact right business plan or the exact right dollars in the bank. And that never happens. They're waiting for perfection. They're waiting for that perfect moment. And that perfect moment is never there. You just if you have the opportunity, seize it. From when I started, I didn't know how to sew. I was horrible. I didn't know I had no business experience. But you have to start somewhere. And you can start as small as you want to start. But that's better than most of the population. It's just about beginning. You can fix it down the road. You can make it better. You will always be making it better. But don't wait for perfection, and don't wait for other people to tell you it's okay to start.
This means you just go ahead, follow that thought, follow that dream, and you make it work. And that's grand. I appreciate every ounce of information that you've had. I'm blown away by the advice, and there's such a broad picture that you're painting, and to be so young, that's incredible.
Happy
birthday!
We appreciate that.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you!
Thank you. Many
more.
Thank you so much for having me
here and on point with us. Oh, no problem whatsoever. We're going to go into our next segment. If you'd like to stay, feel free. Okay. And if he must go, then just know that we're always in the background rooting for you for continued success as well.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your success, too. Congratulations.
Yes.
I'm from Detroit, so, I mean, to put Detroit on the map like that, that's a great thing. Congratulations. I wish you nothing more than success on your business. I really do.
Oh,
just
thank
to
you.
Put
thank
you.
Thank you for joining
great.
Us today.
Well, have a great one, and I will be listening in, but I'm going to be driving to meet with my family for my birthday. So
Oh, enjoy your birthday.
Thank you so
birthday.
Much.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was enriching.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
She is an amazing lady. And as you mentioned, to be so young and so humble, she is not cocky or she doesn't have an attitude. And she's a CEO. That's amazing. I've met a lot of folks with that high-G personality that believe that, you know, the world should bend to their whims and wills. And she has her head on her shoulders, and she's doing some amazing things. So I'm very glad she was able to join us today. Hey, moving on, I know that we have some really cool stuff coming up. I want to hear your thoughts on it.
I got a bunch to say. But I'm not going to say a bunch because I'm just saying moment. This whole ordeal in South Carolina, in frickin' credible. The handling of it, the media response to it, the oversight of it, the downplay of it. The indignance of it, the insult of it, the offense of it, the lack of backlash. I'm just upset.
And I get that. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to see if I can extract some of your thoughts and get you to address something. When a public official is killed, what is that by definition?
Assassination.
I would agree.
Now, here's something. President Reagan someone made an attempt on his life. They failed. And the guy who was in love with Jodie Foster, nonetheless, made an attempt on his life. He failed. The first words out of their mouth was, there was an assassination attempt. This individual, this man, this family man, a church man, a Christ-driven man, a faith-standing man, man of the community, doing community service, a senator, having prayer, was struck down by an individual who they are trying to make him the frickin' victim. How do you make a man a victim who intentionally, willfully walks into a place, sound of mind? And no, you, that individual listening right there, you right there who said, well, maybe he was just young. No. When you're 3 and you go to eat a cookie and you know you're not supposed to and mommy smacks you on the hand and you still try to put it to your mouth and she smacks you on the hand again, you realize at that point this is wrong. You're trying to tell me that a 21-year-old man who tells another individual that I'm not going to kill you, I'm going to spare you so that you can tell everybody else what happened here. You think that that is not willful, that that person is not cognizant of what's right and wrong? Hell no. Don't
my host. My whole thing is, and not to cut you off, Trey, but this is a horrific hate crime. I mean, he has been scoping this place out for a minute because they said that he was coming to the church for a while. His first intention was to do a school, but he couldn't get into the school, so he decided to come to the church. He stood up and said that you all are raping our women and you're taking over our country, according to Wikipedia.org. He came in there with a plan, with an intention to shoot these people. And then you spare one life and you tell her, well, I'm gonna let you live. And then you could be the person that tells everything that happened. And he tried to shoot himself. I'm so glad that he didn't shoot himself, just so he can, you know, sit in there. Because they're talking about giving him now 30 years to life, or better yet, the death penalty, which is my personal opinion, which is what he needs. How dare you come into a church where I can't praise God and you shoot people? You came in here with a plan to do that? Yes. That is horrific. Yes.
Okay.
That's
now,
bad.
Well, I
Men. Well, wait, there's more. And then when they came to his home, he was undressed. They let him get dressed.
What?
They helped him get his gear together. They put on a bulletproof vest. They escorted him out. The officer asked him, were these cuffs too tight? There was a female who just got wrestled to the ground, body slammed, while the cop dropped his knee in her spine at a pool party while she was wearing a bikini because he thought, what did he think? What was she going to attack him with water drops? That, and I know it sounds as if I'm digressing, but no, the comparison about what's going on is, oh, my God, the man just assassinated a senator, killed 8 other parishioners at the same time, would have killed the child had it not had the sense to say, I'm going to just lay here, and then told
and
somebody
Trey,
something. That's, oh, my God. Go ahead.
Okay, Trey, I have to, I mean, this could be a whole entire show for a week, and I want to touch on something here, and by no means am I saying that the senator's death is more important than the 8 other folks who died. I'm not going to say
no.
that, but I think that we have to look at the context and the subtext and say, okay, you have a senator that was killed amongst other people. Now, we're looking at it as an assassination, but no one in the media is addressing that. Now, why is that?
No.
Now, my question
why?
Is, do we have to look at his position and what he was able to do for that community? And perhaps he was a target and the other folks were, I don't want to say collateral damage, but they were there to cover up what the real intentions of maybe a group of folks were. I don't know. I don't want to go down a conspiracy path yet, but I want to put that thought out there because I think we're going to readdress this again and look at the fact that, you know, when you look at the news, they're not saying it was an assassination. They're saying it was an attack on Christianity. That's not what he said. He didn't say he was there to kill Christians. So I just want
no.
to kind of hit that spot before we, you know, I know eventually we're going over to our other segment.
And,
we have to address
and,
that,
and,
but I have to get that
actually,
out there.
And just so you know, I welcome anyone to call and give us some of your feedback. Let us hear your point of view. 347-855-8662. It's 347-855-8662. Feel free to give us a call. And I apologize, caller, at the 770 number that we didn't get a chance to recognize you. My apologies. That won't happen again. Here's something else. The attorney for the individual said that it's no fault of his own. It was the surroundings in which he was raised.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
really? They said that he's been raised
I'm with you.
under a history of knowledge that may have been twisted to be against things that were not known to him. Man, we in the 21st freaking century. You can't walk to the store without bumping into a Latino, an African-American, an Asian, a Native American. There are other people in this freaking world aside from that specific race. Really? You turn on the television, and you see two cops. One of them is brown, the other one is not so brown. And you say you don't understand how they exist. Let me see. I mean, how do I put this? God created it that way. And if you're not a person who believes in God, so be it. So what? Wonderful. Joy, joy, joy. Explain to me the differences in man, aside from the aesthetics of color. Explain to me the differences. Don't say the mentality. There have been studies done with children, different walks of different ethnicities, all raised together, listening to the same music, eating the same freaking food, going to the same school, just they don't know the difference. Racism.
Biggest. Let me chime in. I think that Trey, we touched on this a few episodes back. It's something called cultural conditioning. That's a piece of it. And I think that, right, it is taught. And, you know, someone asked me, when do you think racism would be over? You know, and someone said, well, perhaps when all the old racists die. And I thought, that's an interesting perspective. But realistically, it's still being taught. People are still being conditioned to think in a certain fashion, to behave in a certain fashion, to react in a certain fashion. I've seen it. You still see it to this day. I've gone into a store and had someone treat me differently than they treated the person prior to me. So I see this. And people say it doesn't exist because perhaps who the president is. Well, we understand that some people believe that he's a demographically symbolic president. Okay, we get that.
Wow.
So having one person in a high office, or having this gentleman who was the representative of the 45th district, all these things are happening. But what has changed? You know, there's a really interesting saying. It says, excuse me, just because everything is different doesn't mean that anything has changed. And that was Irene Peter. I think that that's a very, very poignant statement, because we think, you know, all this stuff has happened in you know, 2008, 2012. Look at everything that's changed or everything that's different. It doesn't mean anything's changed. It doesn't.
It's just sad because I don't think racism will never end. And racism, that's something that's taught. You're not born that way. That's something that is definitely taught. And what people don't understand is that we all are one. If I was to cut my arm, and I'm a black lady, and I was to cut another white lady arm, it still would bleed the color red. There's no difference in that. It's
indeed
just a color. People take it too far. I mean, for him to do something of that nature, they said this guy had a website that was just full of hatred, you know, that he wanted to do, kill Hispanics, Jews, African-Americans. I mean, for him to be so young, come on, you're 21 years old. This how you live your life? That's ridiculous. Over nothing.
I'm appalled at education, the education system there, and possibly other places too. It's going to be another subject. But they said the racial divide does exist. And they have a class on it there. Bananas. I am so sorry that we've come to the end of this program. We will revisit this. And I'll be the first to tell you, I hate, I detest, I loathe the black and white issue, because there's so much more to us, to every man, woman, and child, than the black and white is. Look, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top. Remember, every thought is grand. Every idea is warranted. May every step you take and every endeavor you follow upon be on point. So next week,
call.
Let's see you then. Peace.
See you next week.